Hello, and welcome to the 79th episode of the Not Your Mama's Gamer podcast, a podcast where we talk about games and gaming from a feminist perspective. My name is Samantha Blackman, and I am joined tonight by a group of wonderful and smart women who are our usual co-hosts, and maybe another one a little later. But first off tonight, we have Charlotte Hyde and Jen Justice. Ladies?
Hi, I'm Charlotte Hyde. I'm a doctoral candidate at Purdue University and a Lego scholar. And I would like to say, to that end, that Lego has recently
That's
approved...
the best description ever.
Lego has recently approved the female minifigure set.
Hell yes.
Set for August 2014. I'm super, super excited about it.
I am ordering two sets.
Yes, I could not
that
be
That is
happy.
So cool. Yeah.
Jennifer?
Okay. I'm Jen Justice. I am a PhD student in rhetoric and composition at Purdue University. And focusing a lot on teaching and games and writing.
Yay! Yeah, as far as the what do they call it? The research pack research.
It used to be CUSO. Now it's Lego Ideas.
Looking. Huh?
It used to be CUSO. Now it's Lego Ideas.
No. I'm just some of the name that they gave to the new kit. The new.
Oh, right.
I've already been looking to see if I could pre-order it.
No, it'll be August. It's August 14th.
Well, it's June.
I know, but I'm super excited because they I know that like people are upset because Zelda didn't make it or whatever, but this is so important, and I was so excited to see it happen.
Like
Zelda
like
can
Zelda
happen.
Too.
I know, but later. this is like
this is more important.
Well, yeah. And one does not stop the other from existing. Like,
well, no. It does as far as production and Lego's concerned. The female minifig set is the one that won this round.
Okay.
So,
well, yeah, it's this round, but there will be other rounds.
I may have to submit again or whatever, but
they'll be sell the Lego sooner or later.
But the female minifigs is like, there's a paleontologist and a chemist.
I know, I saw it. It's so cool.
I know, I'm so excited.
And it also, I think, sends a message not only to Lego, but to everybody else that, yes, this is important.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yay. That's all I have to say. All right. So we'll do our usual, what you're playing, what you're reading, what you're drinking, and then we'll move on to our fun stuff, including our issue of the week, which is a fun summer episode this week. So we will start with what you're playing. Charlotte, what you playing?
What am I playing? Well, I played Among the Sleep, which I wrote about today, which was an excellent, excellent game, but horribly disturbing. So, I also played a lot of Lego games. PSN had this is sort of sad to, acknowledge, but PSN had a sale on Lego Movie for the Vita for $20. Mm-hmm. So I went ahead and got it, despite the fact that I already had it for the 360. Because I had to know, like, what's the difference? What's happening here? And unfortunately, it's not as terrible as Lego Marvel Super Heroes for the Vita.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that far away.
Oh.
So, because what happens is you have these little... I don't know what they did. Like, they screwed up the whole Lego system when it comes to portable gaming, because it used to be you had these robust games like Lego Batman 2 and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have...
Batman 2 was really good on the Vita.
It was really good. And now you have these messed up little 30-second mini games that are separated by loading times and strange cutscenes.
No.
That are not the same. So I researched into this, and I found that according to the reviewers, I don't know either way, but according to the reviewers, Lego Indiana Jones is for the Vita is the same as the console version. So I downloaded that. I don't know if it's the same as the console version, but I do know that it's awesome.
Yeah, Lego Indiana Jones is really good because P and I really played a lot of that one.
Yeah, it's the same kind of open world, the whole console type game that the Vita can take, but nobody wants to give it. Mm-hmm. You know?
I wonder why.
Because they're cheap.
Well, you know what it is? They've been pumping those Lego games out so damned fast that, you know, because now they're making like a Lego game to go with every superhero movie. With every superhero movie, and there's so many superhero movies coming out that they're just pumping those Lego, they're just pumping those Lego games out like one after the other. And they're coming out so fast that they don't have time to make them the open world experiences that Lego Indiana Jones and
Batman
2 were. So they're making, you know, something different. And
it's not good. It sucks. It sucks so bad. And it makes me angry because my console of choice is the Vita. And I want everything on the Vita. And it can handle it. And I would even be willing to wait. I think Sam's about to talk about Transistor. And I'm avoiding that because she tells me it's coming out on the Vita.
It is in July.
And I will wait because I want it on the Vita. I love my Vita so much. So anyway, I played that. I played Deadly Premonition because I got into like a Twin Peaks thing in the past couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And decided to restart Deadly Premonition, which is interesting to restart a game you haven't played for 5 years.
I love doing that.
Yeah, it was interesting because I started Deadly Premonition in 2010 when it came out, which is obviously before I was here and doing any kind of game studies. And it's interesting to see the differences in what I think and thought about the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was very strange when I played it the first time. And now I see that what I thought was very strange is actually JRPG stuff. And I didn't know that was a thing then.
Yeah.
I just thought it was a weird game.
Have you played Child of Light yet?
No, not yet. Mm-mm.
It's also coming out on the
really,
Vita.
Really. Mm-hmm. That's exciting. And then somehow Watch Dogs downloaded itself onto my 360.
Oh wow! Yeah, you know that's happened to me a couple times too.
It's like
I don't know.
Magical thing. It's magic.
you turn on your console and then like it makes these weird noises and stuff starts to download.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's not like if you can control it.
No, I can't. So anyway, I've been playing Watch Dogs, which is interesting because had I known it was basically a GTA ripoff, I would have said,
No, stop.
Let me finish. Not got it. But it turns out that my big complaint about GTA is the driving and shit because I can't do it.
Yes.
But it turns out that if I'm invested enough in the story, I can drive.
Really?
Yeah.
I
learned
still
out.
Driving.
No, I sucked. But I was so mad because I was so into the story, and I was like, God damn, here we go again. Because Sam's like, you don't have to drive, except you do. And like the second whole thing.
Okay. What I said was... For some of them, you don't have to drive. For some of them, you do have to drive. Like, if you got to chase somebody down.
Well, I'm talking about, like, the second mission. Like, the first thing is, like, go get him. And they took my motorcycle away because I can really drive on the motorcycle.
Which one? Which go get him? Is it the Big Brother mission?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one you have to drive on.
Yeah, and I was like, God damn it. But anyway. I failed it a couple times, and I was like, no, you know what? I want to move on with the story. We're going to figure this out. And I did.
Yeah.
I did it.
Yep.
So I'm happy. I like the story. I'm interested. I hate the GTA format. I always have. But Watch Dogs has, like you said, some things that are good, like the fast travel is awesome.
And you can take the L.
Yeah, I can just get back to my spot. I don't have to drive around all the time. So I'm really enjoying it. So I was just surprised to see the GTA format at first.
Yeah. Well, it was what I was surprised at, and I was kind of hoping for, is like the blah 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 blah. who does you know, the folks that did like Red Dead and Rockstar.
Yes.
To do the Rockstar thing where if you fail a mission so many times, it gives you the option to get to the end of it. Because I was like, well, you know, if it's a driving mission and I fail it four times, maybe they'll do the honorable thing and give me the opportunity to...
No. This is why I could never get through GTA 5. I literally could never get through the initial scene. I couldn't do the snow driving thing. Like, nothing.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's bad.
I know. I'm telling you, I'm really bad at driving. But
yeah, I'm bad, but apparently I'm not as bad as you.
No. I laugh. But in Watch Dogs, I like the story enough that I like, instead of just getting frustrated, I'm like, okay, how do I do it? I'm gonna figure this out. And I did. We moved past the driving. So.
Okay, so, you know, and then can I tell you when, and you probably know why, that, you know, what was it, 10 minutes into the game, I was screaming at my TV?
Yes. And I didn't expect that either, because the way they described it was like, that was how it was going to start the game. Like, sort of a backstory?
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't seem to be as much of a backstory as I was anticipating.
It was like, hey, here's a dead kid.
Yeah, the dead kid. Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm like screaming at my TV.
Because not that it makes it any better, but when I read the stuff about it, it seemed like that was the backstory, like we were going to start there.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we got there, I was like, oh, wait, I thought that already happened.
Yeah. Yeah, when I saw that one indication that there was a child, I was like, no.
Yeah.
This is not about to happen. And it did.
Yeah, and it keeps happening.
It keeps happening. What is it? What is it with
three
kids?
But it's like what I was telling you the other day about the Among the Sleep. I think I need to write a thing about that, because I think there are some things that are just not where we want to go.
You know, and I'm just gonna let it go, because I feel like I'm always harping on that. But you know, you give it to me to harp on, because you keep killing kids, and it makes no sense.
Well, I think a lot of times, it falls into the same category as using rape as a plot device. Like it's an automatic event that everybody goes, oh my god, that's terrible, if it's put in a narrative context. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. I wish everybody said that about rape in the real world, but I mean, as far as narrative context goes, everybody acknowledges it is a terrible thing. But if it's only used as a plot device, it's a shock value thing. It's a, mm-hmm. we don't have to try too hard because it has an immediate, emotive, effective connotation, as opposed to actually building it into a real development point. And that doesn't make it necessarily any less painful or upsetting to go through, but I think there's a really big narrative difference between doing it because that's actually part of a story, something like Child of Light, where it is more of the actual plot, versus something that's a shock value thing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I know this is totally not the same thing, but when I was growing up, you know, I read a ton of fiction. I love fiction. But when I was growing up, killing the family dog was really not a thing you saw in fiction.
Right.
And lately it is. It seems to me like the dogs are dying all over the place. And I can't stand it. It like kills me. And I don't know, like, what is the point of the shock value?
Yeah.
There's no, I mean, I know it's not the same thing as a kid dying, but I'm just saying, for me, it kind of is.
For me, it's, what you said, for me, it's dogs. For them, it's kids.
Yeah, because when I read a recent novel and the family dog died, and the next three novels I read where the family dog died, I was like, okay. I don't know why the dog wants to die.
I mean, we're used to, you know, things like, you know, the Max Paynes where, you know, you kill the wife. And that's what, you know, gets, you know, the male protagonist so involved in the case or so involved in what have you, that it kind of pushes him forward to action. But that's been something, that's been a trope that's been around like forever. Not to say that it's a positive one and one that we should definitely go with, but it's like, okay, so people are desensitized to the dead wife. So now we start to, you know, kill kids because that'll push people forward. It's just lazy.
Right. It is.
And I felt like sort of the same thing, except not as bad, except almost worse with Among the Sleep. Where it's like, they don't even, like, okay, so by almost worse, I'm not giving you spoilers, but what I'm saying is almost worse is, it's one thing to kill the kid, like, right up front, like as a sort of 15-minute little, you know, cut scene or whatever. And another thing to, like, have this whole thing happening. I'm sorry, I am doing spoilers.
Yeah. You're playing the spoiler game.
I'm playing spoilers, sorry, I'll stop.
So, all right, let's go on. So, that's it for what you've been watching, right? Well, I'll jump in. I'm going to play more Child of Light. Because, you know, dead kids aside, I really kind of like the game. And I'll say, and I don't know if I said this last time, but the thing about Child of Light is that after a while, the gameplay just gets repetitive.
Yeah.
Because,
well, and then there's the rhyming.
Yes, and then there's the rhyming. Because they have made all the text in the game, all the rhyme. Everything, no matter how bad the rhyme has to be, they're going to use it in order to get the whole damn thing to rhyme. And so I'm just like, really? It's painful after a while. It is truly painful after a while. The game itself, like, is fun, but like I said, it does get a little repetitive, which is probably why I haven't finished it yet, but it's still enough fun that I go back to it every now and then and play it, you know, play a little bit, play an hour or so. But I can't, and it's not a very long game because, you know, theoretically it's only about 12 or 13 hours long to 100% it. Let me see how long it beat that. I think they said about 13, 14 hours. I'm like peeking. I always use the howlongtobeat.com to tell you how long to beat it.
Right.
So
right.
To beat the main story, they're saying 11 hours and 16 hours to 100% it. So, yeah, it's going to take me a while if it's 16 hours because it's so repetitive, I really can't play more than an hour or so at a time.
Right.
But it's still enough fun that you want to play that hour or so at a time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've also been playing Transistor, of course.
I'm super excited about this. Tell me.
This is a lot of fun. It is kind of it's an RPG game, but it's a strategy RPG, right? Because the battle system is very much kind of a strategy system. It's a lot like you'll like this, Jen. Like, kind of like Final Fantasy Tactics is what it feels like.
Nice.
So it's nothing like Bastion.
No, it's nothing like Bastion. In order to... Well, you can just kind of willy-nilly bash things, but in order to kind of successfully make it out of battles after the first hour or so, you're going to have to strategize, which means you're going to have to go into this kind of plan out your battle strategy mode where you can go in and tell it which enemies to hit and what to do and what to hit them with, right, in terms of how you want to do this. And so it gives you this kind of gridded out Tron-like map, and then you can go ahead and it gives also across the very top, it tells you how far you can go. There's a little bar, so you can go all over the screen until you run out of length, right, on your bar. Then you hit the execute button, and it goes back to the regular scene, and it executes all of the commands that you've put in. It's a lot of fun. Yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun. And I've been playing that. I haven't beat it, and I haven't played it enough to beat it. Why? Because too much stuff's been coming out. God. And then I'm teaching Maymaster, which means I'm teaching 5 days a week. So that also cuts down on my gaming time and getting ready for computers and writing that I leave for tomorrow. yeah, nothing like a little work. And then Watch Dogs, of course, which Charlotte and I just kind of chit-chatted about, that I'm really enjoying. I'm really enjoying Watch Dogs. I'm angry that I can't take it with me to Portland.
Well, me too, because I'm about to go out of the country, and I'm like, I just bought this game.
And I won't take it with me. Take it with you.
I can't take it with me. It's like I have to take the Xbox, right?
Yeah.
But it's... I don't know, I really enjoyed, like, trying to figure out the puzzles with, like, the cameras and figuring everything out. Yeah.
Another thing I'm playing that I didn't put on our, list today, so I've been playing Mario Kart 8.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm horrible. I couldn't not, I got it from Gamefly. I did not buy it yet.
So I hear a lot about Luigi.
Yeah, the evil. Death stare is
That's
hilarious.
Hilarious. That's hilarious.
It is hilarious. The Luigi death stare. I mean, seriously, that's the look you give people when they cut you off and you drive past them.
Every time I see it, I crack up. I don't even like the Mario Kart games, but I want it because of the death stare.
How can you not like Mario Kart?
I don't drive well.
Well, you know what? It's different. You have to play this, Charlotte.
I have played Mario Kart on a Wii, and it's not good for me.
This is a lot of fun. Okay. I got this one because ever since they've had like the trailers out in like the game stores, every time we go past the GameStop, like anywhere near it in the mall or in the same strip mall, he's like, can we go to the game store? And then she just sits there and stares open mouthed at the Wii U watching the Mario Kart trailer over and over again. And then like the week before it came out, she sat down in my lap and she made me show her every Mario Kart 8 trailer on the internet. And I was like, oh my God, really? It's like, so she really just wanted to play this game. So she and I, it was so funny. The first time she and I sat down and played it, we played far too long. She and I sat down and played it. One of the things that I really like about it is that, in terms of playing with little kids, is that everybody finishes, right? The race doesn't end when somebody wins. Everybody finishes, right? Which is good because then you don't have a crying small child who can't ever win, right? But then when you have a kid like mine who's a natural shit talker.
Gee, I wonder where she got that from.
Hey. So what she does is, right, so we're racing, and then even though I've like already come in like first, second, third, fourth, fifth, whatever I've come in, it still shows my cart driving around the track over and over, and I kind of pretend that I'm still driving it just so that she doesn't know that, you know, she's the only one that hasn't finished.
Right.
So then she's still driving along, right? And she's five, so she doesn't drive. She's probably the only person who does drive worse than you, Charlotte. So she'll like drive off the track and into the water, and then the little character comes and puts her back on the track, or she's going in the wrong direction. If you go in the wrong direction too long and it tells you to turn around, you don't turn around, it turns you around, right? So it takes a while. So she's always like a lap behind. And then, so, you know, I'm sitting there, I'm pretending to drive because, you know, I placed like, you know, second, and she's like 12th and 6th laps behind or whatever the hell. So she's like, Mama, you're way behind. You need to catch up. She's just smack talking me, right? And I'm like, I'm going to let you go ahead and believe that. Because
I've been done for 15 minutes.
And it's really kind of funny. But she That's loves amazing. That game so much. So actually, I might take the Wii U to Pullman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just so we can play Mario Kart.
I just want to play for the Death Stares.
You know what? And I'm going to start playing Luigi just so I can do the Death Stares.
That's awesome.
It makes me so happy.
We've been trying out all the female characters, P and I, together.
Cool.
So that's been pretty fun. And I'll run down quickly. I'm sorry. Other things I've been playing, because I'm teaching and we've been doing talking a lot about games because it's a games writing class. I've also been playing stuff like Grim Fandango, which is my all-time favorite game. But I started playing that again. Why? Because I had to play it in class. And Shenmue, because I dug out and dusted off the Dreamcast. Not dug out, it was sitting on the shelf, but dusted off the Dreamcast. Dusted off the Dreamcast and played some Shenmue. I had to make sure that it still worked, right?
So right,
I
was playing
right. Some Shenmue. It's the responsible thing to do.
Right, right. and it's class prep. And I'm sure there's. Oh, I also played, when we were talking about the day we were talking about RPGs, I played like some of The Last Express and some other fun stuff. It's a Monkey Island, actually. And I'm playing a new iOS game that one of my Facebook friends, who used to be a grad student here, was like, have you played this game? You have to try it. It's an iOS RPG called Battle Heart Legacy. So Battle Heart apparently was an RPG on iOS a while ago that was a really good one. So this is the next iteration of it, Battle Heart Legacy. It's a whole lot of fun. That you just, like, get to kill things. It's kind of like an unconnected WoW for iOS is actually what it is. And it's pretty fun without the backstory, though. I mean, the little characters will tell you to go do things, but the narrative is not as deep. But the battle system is pretty damn clean for an iOS game. It was $5, and I'd pay for it again. Because I've gotten a lot. I mean, one night I sat down and I was like, oh, I'm just going to play this game for a few minutes. And like 2 hours later, my battery died.
I know how that goes.
Damn good for an iOS game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I've been playing. I'm done now.
That's actually very impressive with the load that you've had on your plate at the moment. Bravo. Okay, so I have been playing all kinds of little things off and on, but never anything for one good stretch, which is kind of sad because I love marathoning games. But I've kind of been revisiting Skyrim off and on. I've been desperately wanting to play it on the computer because that's where I've got all my saves that have gone much further. Mm-hmm. But my computer keeps overheating. So I've been trying out how it works on the console. So I've been playing on PS3, which is actually pretty cool. Mm-hmm. It's a hell of a lot easier to fight dragons that way. The mouse is not a very good tool for dragon fighting, I have found. I also have been playing Analog: A Hate Story, though it's been a while now because it's a very short game. Mm-hmm. I've been kind of playing around with a few of these new indie games that have been coming out on Steam, and I really, really, really liked Analog. It's a fascinating little game. It really makes you think a lot. I don't want to go into too many spoilers because it is super new, and it is very narrative heavy. Like, it is the main drive of this game. But it's a very cool little kind of interactive novel. Visual novel, but I really hesitate to say that because I really don't like visual novels. At least I don't want to call those games. They don't feel like games to me. They feel like a choose-your-own-adventure book, which is completely cool in its own right, but is not what I go for when I'm looking for a game. Mm-hmm. Somehow this manages to avoid that feel in a lot of ways. It does have a much more interactive, like, try and beat the clock minigame towards, like, the middle of the game, which does help mitigate that. But it also, there's a lot to do with the fact that it runs more like a JRPG. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of choose your own adventure types or visual novel type games, every choice you make will bring you to a different ending, some shorter than others. So something like Long Live the Queen, every choice you make might end up with a different ending. Mm-hmm. And that's cool and all, but it does feel like a choose your own adventure. This, there is one narrative, there are a few endings, but rather than every choice leading to that, it's more how you explore. So it's mm-hmm. more like an open world novel, where you have the narrative there for you to find, and you are the anthropologist or archaeologist going through these records, going through these archives and trying to find the story of what happened on this ship. And it's a cool experience. It's a really powerful novel for exploring concepts that have to do with, like, female sexuality, female power, the different types of ways that we approach different societies and societal implications behind patriarchy. It's mm-hmm. just, it's a really deep game for how short it is.
It is a really good game. That's when you said you were playing. I was like, oh yeah. And you were like, so you were like, did you get to the? Well, you asked me a question about it, and I was like, oh, I don't know if I can tell you because there's a sequel to it. Because they just went so well together. Yeah, they went so well together that I can't remember where one ended and the other one began.
That makes sense.
Because the sequel is called Hate Plus.
Okay. I'll have to look into that.
Yeah. you'll have to check that one out.
It's definitely worth following up with. Yeah. I know I wrote about the costume part. It was interesting because I had read a lot of reviews of this game before I actually got into playing it, thanks to the Maymester course. Mm-hmm. I was reviewing an entirely different game. I was gonna review Sir, You Are Being Hunted. And I didn't want to read those reviews in case they colored what I was going to be talking about. So I was reading all of these reviews on Analog, and they all picked on a few different things. The fact that there was a love interest in it, which felt like it was slapped on, which it really does. That mm-hmm. I completely agree with that. I hate the love interest element. And then the fact that there is a cosplay option that lets you... It's such a JRPG trope, but it's this whole idea of changing the costumes of the main character. And it's such an objectifying thing that you can do, and it caused a lot of, like, mental dissonance for these people who were playing it and recognizing these themes of, mm-hmm. you know, women in power and patriarchy and avoiding objectification. And they're like, why the hell is this here? And I know my initial reaction was that too, especially when I immediately saw that there was a maid costume and I wanted to look at anything but, because I'm like, I really do not want to see this maid costume on this character. Like, this is so degrading. And so the first thing I picked was that, I'm going to butcher the pronunciation, but the hanbok, the traditional Korean dress, mm-hmm. Because I'm like, oh, well, that at least will be modest, and that'll be, it should be pretty, it'll be cool. And I think that was one of the coolest moments in the game, because you put this on her, and her immediate reaction is to get so disheartened, because that's what she was forced to wear.
Mm-hmm.
And so here I'm thinking, you know, oh, I'll put her in this because this will be less objectifying and it's modest, and I'm gonna, and then this idea that, wait, this was a tool of oppression, the fact that she could not choose, and this was a girl who loved to do cosplay and made her own costumes and designed these things for herself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's built in as part of her character. Like, here are these things I designed. I want to share them with you because you're the first person I've talked to in hundreds of years. and I realized I was avoiding it for other reasons, but this was a way of her getting power. this yeah. was a way of her getting control. And then the nice thing that all the cosplay options were not revealing or objectifying any more than her initial outfit is with the school uniform that really is much too short. But otherwise, I mean, like, it was just, it was a very cool way of handling a very common trope in a new way, which I thought was just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then, other than that, I've been kind of playing a bunch of games for class, so I've dabbled with Bastion a bit, started to play Brothers. I need more access to a 360, so that'll be an office hours thing. Dabbled a bit with World of Warcraft, which that's something I haven't played in years, so that's an interesting blast from the past. And then I've bought myself a 3DS because I am a glutton for punishment and apparently have no wish to have free time and have been starting to play Dragon Quest VI. So, yeah, that's my playlist for right now.
Yay, fun stuff.
Yeah.
So we have two new 3DS owners, you and Charlotte. Charlotte got sucked into the
3DS. Oh, did you just get one too?
Well, I got one. I'm pissed at it.
Oh, no.
Why are you pissed at it?
Because the Luigi's Mansion.
Oh, my God. What? Really, are you still stuck on Luigi's Mansion?
Are you stuck?
I'm stuck. I haven't tried again, though, so... I'm playing.
Is that? It's one, it's a good game. Two, it's a great system.
No, it's four, a great game. It's a great system, but I
right.
I'm sure it is. Yeah.
Well, at least go ahead and just use a walkthrough and cheat.
I did. It doesn't help.
Oh, did no. you do a video walkthrough or did you do?
I did a video walkthrough and it looks all easy, and then I do it. Nothing.
I told you if you want to bring it to me, I can try to clear that one for you.
All right, I'll do.
And then you can keep going.
I just want to keep going.
I see absolutely no shame in walkthroughs. I don't even consider it cheating at this point. Like but I play games for narrative sake. Like.
Well, yeah. Me too. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and that's why I get so pissed, because I just want to get on with the game.
I want to get into the story, so...
And that's why, you know, last time we talked about, would you pay $2? Absolutely. Right now? Yeah. I just want to get on with the game. Please.
Yeah. Don't say that too loud, because Nintendo may hear you.
Start putting a pay option in.
They need to hear
me. Well, there is one on Bravely Default.
There is?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
That you can buy three extra moves.
Hmm.
Well, they need to hear me because this game is for 7-year-olds and I can't do it. So.
Well, we'll get you through. All right. Let's go ahead and jump forward. What you're reading, and I'll jump in first and say, you know what? I've been reading so much, I'm not even going to, like, kill you with it. Lots of game history, lots of game design stuff, and lots of stuff about writing for the games industry, because, like I said, I'm teaching the games writing class right now. And other than what I'm reading for class, because it's such a fast-moving class, I haven't been reading a whole lot of very much.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll jump in and say that I think Sam assigned this to her class. I didn't know that, and I read it independently, but Ready Player One?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody should drop everything they're doing and go get Ready Player One.
I can agree with that.
Yep.
Best book I've read in book. Years.
Yeah. Very good book.
Yes.
I've been reading basically the same stuff Sam has been reading because I'm in the class. And I did read Ready Player One for class, but it's totally worth it. It's an amazingly well done novel. And now I really want to rewatch Holy Grail. but just a fascinating read. And this doesn't seem like it's related to games, but I have found it actually is. I've been reading Thomas Rickert's Ambient Rhetoric, and then I've also been reading, discussing and kind of reading over the shoulder of somebody who is reading Discipline and Punishment by Foucault. And especially with Foucault, there's a whole section, like there's a whole discussion of panopticism and this idea of being watched. And when you pair that behavior, and when you pair that with Ready Player One,
mm-hmm.
it makes for some really cool discussions of yeah. virtual spaces and this idea of being seen or being known and how that changes what you do and what you can or cannot do. So it's some very fascinating ways that non-games related stuff has been tying in with games, which mm-hmm. was just cool.
Cool. Yeah, I can definitely see how reading those two together would be a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, it's been pretty awesome.
Cool. So we get to the fun part. What you drinking, folks? Charlotte, what you drinking?
Sparkling water and wine.
Nice.
Is that going to be your summer drink right there, spritzers?
I like it. It's good. It doesn't make me feel bloated.
Is it red wine or white? Is it red wine or white wine this week?
Oh, it's always white wine. I don't like red wine.
Oh, I don't either. Charlotte, you have excellent taste.
Yeah. What about you there, Jen? What you drinking?
Well, I actually have a cider here that is waiting for me, because that's my go-to drink. But I found this amazing orange cream soda that tastes like a dreamsicle. And I'm trying to finish it so it doesn't go flat before I start my cider. So I'm bouncing between the two.
Oh,
do you have Cosmos?
No, who me?
No?
Okay, I'm going to shock you.
Okay.
Well, because I'm trying to get packed and get ready to get out of here tomorrow.
So you're drinking water?
No, I'm actually drinking iced coffee because I'm also trying to stay awake.
Oh, God.
Oh, so you could do the Excedrin.
Yep.
Yeah, but the problem is you'll just be awake.
No, I won't. I'll go to sleep. The caffeine doesn't keep me awake.
Well.
It will keep me from just passing out, but it won't keep me awake. I have built up my tolerance way, way too high, so I'm not worried about it.
I hear you. I can drink coffee all the time. No problem.
Yeah. It'll hopefully keep me awake long enough to get packed. And then I can go to bed, hopefully.
Sorry, so,
I'm fingers crossed.
I'm going to Scotland in 2 weeks, so I'm super nervous.
About the flight or about the trip in general?
All of it. I'm not scared of planes, but there's something about a plane over a huge body of water that sort of makes me nervous.
Gotcha. All right. Let's go ahead and jump forward a little bit. And let's talk about what our kind of topic of the week is, because it's not really an issue. It's a topic. We thought it would be fun, fun to talk about summer gaming, what our plans are for summer gaming, as well as do a kind of our own kind of walk of shame through our pile of games, and talk a little bit about what games that we never wanted to admit that we haven't played, haven't finished, etc. Now, we've got to be ones that you're ashamed of, not ones that you never cared about. Right? There's a difference. So, unless someone else wants to go first, I'm sorry.
Go for it.
Okay, so summer gaming, and I think we mentioned this last summer. Summer gaming is never a big thing for me to like not do, because I can't go outside when it's hot. What'd you say?
I love being outside when it's hot.
Well, that's because you're normal.
Actually, more people I know don't like it, but.
Well, I don't sweat.
Oh, okay. So then you just overheat, yeah.
Uh-huh. So I can't go outside. Well, I can, but if I get too hot, then I just pass out. you know, you just got to do what you got to do, right? excuse me. So I spend a lot of time indoors. I mean, in the evenings, P and I go out and do things and And days when it's not too terribly hot. But, I mean, when it's, we're in the dead of summer around here and it's 100 degrees outside, it's like, yeah, I'm not going outside and I'm not taking my kid outside because it's just way too freaking hot anyway. So it doesn't really change my summer gaming patterns too much. But one thing that I do a lot of in the summer, if I do go out and we're at parks or just hanging out on the hammock or what have you, is I play a lot of mobile games and I play a lot of handheld games. So iOS games and handheld games. I've got a pretty good collection of games for like the DS and the Vita because they've been coming out so rapidly that I haven't finished, that I'll probably spend a lot of time finishing this summer. And that'll be fun for my outside time. And for my inside time, I want to try to start making it through some of this pile of shame that I have in my house that is getting higher and higher because games keep coming out.
You sound desperate, higher and higher.
I know. I feel so bad. I mean, because shit, like in the last, what, in the last week, what have we had come out? Like 3-4 new AAA titles or between indies and AAA titles? And I bought them all and I'm like, and I haven't finished any of them.
Yeah, I hear you.
So, those are kind of what I want to do. And if I have to talk about what's in my pile of shame, games that I haven't finished, have not finished, but, you know, this was not a story issue, but a mechanics issue for me because there was so much other stuff about that the game pissed me off so much. And I was like, really, if you're going to act like this, then I'm not going to play you. Was The Last of Us. Of course, I know the entire story, but I have not finished the game. So I'm going to give The Last of Us another try.
What about Beyond Two Souls?
You know what? I just realized I still have your Beyond Two Souls.
Well, that's why I ask.
Hint, hint, nudge, nudge.
Somehow her game ended up in my box.
Because you asked.
Somehow.
Somehow. And then I just finished reorganizing the game room last weekend, and I was like, why is this still in this box?
Because you need to play it.
Okay, so I will play Beyond Two Souls because I had gotten a buggy copy of Beyond Two Souls, and my game for some reason kept breaking at a certain point. And I was talking to Charlotte about it. I was like, well, I tried to play the damn game, but it kept breaking at this point. And I was like, didn't you have that problem? She was like, no. She's like, and this is how it happened. She was like, why don't you try out my copy and see if you have the same problem? And that's how it happened.
But I really want you to play it, though, so, you know, play it.
So I will. I'll put that in my pile of shame. So, Last of Us, now Beyond Two Souls.
You haven't played The Last of Us?
I played part of it.
You
it
played was... the part where the girl died.
No, I played more than that.
Okay.
It's just that I got so frustrated with it, because you know how the game, you have to hit, like, exactly the right pixel to trigger certain things to make...
You don't.
You do, too. That game was mechanically just broken.
I finished it. If I finished it, everybody can finish it.
Okay, I am not the only person who has complained about this show.
I suck at games. So if I finished it, you can finish it.
I will. I'm going to go back and finish it. I'm going to suck it up and go back and finish it.
Because it's a beautiful, beautiful game.
Yeah.
As is Beyond Two Souls, which I think actually is better than Last of Us.
I'm going to play Beyond, and I'm going to go ahead and suck it up and finish Last of Us. The other game that I have not finished, and I probably... I'm going to go back. And so these are three really big AAA titles from, like, the last year. BioShock Infinite.
Yeah, I didn't finish it either.
I'm
going to
go back and finish it. I wasn't very good, to be perfectly honest.
Well, I got did you get to the really? Boat? I can't get past the boat where you have, like, a bazillion people coming at you.
Yeah. It's not me. But I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to give it another try. Not because I want to necessarily finish the game because I'm not terribly... I want to play the DLC.
Me too! Exactly! Damn it!
Maybe we should just tag team this game, Charlotte.
Good, let's just do it.
between the two of us, we could probably finish it.
Yes.
But yeah, that's what I am. Those are the three big games on my pile of shame that I probably want to make it through. And I've a lot of that is because when I'm really busy, I don't get to play as many games as I want. But then even within that, because I have P, a lot of my gaming time gets sucked up by games that are appropriate for a 5-year-old. Mm-hmm. So we play a lot of Super Mario 3D World. We play, now with the replay that we started, we're not still doing, thank God, even though every time she mentions the game, I kind of shiver a little bit. The 150 hours of Ni No Kuni, right? And now, so I play a lot of hours of other things too. So, the things that I go back to, that's another thing that didn't make it on my list was Scribblenauts Unlimited. We played a lot. We've been playing Scribblenauts Unlimited just to kind of get her thinking about inventive and creative ways to solve problems and to work on spelling words, right? Sounding out words and spelling words to see that there's a very real connection between, words and bringing a thing into meaning. But more than anything else, I've learned that my child is perfectly willing to burn everything to the ground, and that she would rather stab bugs with scissors than spray them with bug spray. And that she's perfectly willing to serve humans in a restaurant if a cannibal comes in. Yeah. So.
Good to know. Is that a game worth getting?
Scribblenauts. I like Scribblenauts. I liked the original Scribblenauts for the DS. I played a lot of it. That was actually the very first game that P played was Scribblenauts. She was 18 months old. Of course, she couldn't write words, and it wasn't about the words, but she could make Maxwell walk all over. And I had, left my DS on the couch and gone to, the bathroom or something. And I came back, and she was 18 months old. She was standing at the side of the couch with the pen in her hand, walking Max around. And I was like, who knew? She's a gamer already. it wasn't a surprise that, she still loves that game. Definitely worth giving. It's a fun game, especially if you can find a cheap version for the DS.
Yeah, it sounded cool, but I wasn't sure if it was just a kid's game or if it was.
No, I played the hell out of that game when it first came out.
Cool. Yeah. No, it sounded like something I would like. So.
All right, so that's my pile of shame as well, and my summer gaming plans.
I have a big pile of shame.
Ooh. you can just hear her going as she walks over to the desk, right? Tell us what you got, Charlotte.
I'm going to Scotland, so I have to deal with the pile of shame that is of the portable variety. Mm-hmm. So on the Vita, I have the rest of Persona 4, which I love and need to get back to. Batman, which seems to be a very excellent game, but I haven't played very far into. All of the Lego games.
All of them.
Because I haven't finished any of them.
How have you not finished Lego Batman 2? That was like the best game ever.
I have them all, Sam. I have all of them.
Yeah, but none of them were good.
You played Indiana Jones? It's good.
Yes, I played Indiana Jones on the 360.
Yes, 3, yes, or whatever. Yes, they're all good. I have all of them to play. Mm-hmm. I have Sly Cooper.
Yeah.
I have to play.
The latest one?
No, the other one. I have to play that. Okay. And then we have the 3DS. So on the 3DS, I have to play Luigi's Mansion, which is the one that's pissing me off. Zelda, which I love, but have not played because of Luigi's Mansion.
I have to finish Zelda.
Zelda's good. And Mario 3D.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my basic. I mean, because I'm living in Scotland, and I don't know how do you say it. not console-less, but
full-size console-less.
Full-size console-less. I have to focus on the handheld games, which I love, so it's cool.
Handhelds are fun.
Yeah.
Handhelds are fun. I do have a humongous full-size console list. Pile of shame. which includes Deadly Premonition, which I really want to finish because it's so awesome. And a variety of other games. I want to play the Uncharted games.
Mm-hmm.
I want to play the Orange Box, which I started and ended.
Oh,
nice.
The Silent Hill game.
I've been told I need to play the Silent Hill ones, too.
Silent Hill games are good.
Yeah. They're excellent for narrative.
I mean, I'm looking right now at my whole bottom shelf of my TV stand is games that mostly haven't been finished.
That you haven't finished?
Yes.
You're ashamed of?
Yeah. And then we have Steam.
Oh, I don't even consider that anymore because that's the number of games I have unplayed in Steam in my Steam library is really obscene.
Yeah. And I think I wrote about this recently. Like I literally went through and counted like what I really wanted to play versus what I have.
Mm-hmm.
And even what I really want to play is like over 100.
Oof.
Not even just what I have. Just
yeah.
What you have is what you have, but what you want to play.
That's totally the story. So I'm not the only one. I don't feel bad anymore.
So this summer will be focused on a handheld games because I will be leaving in a week and a half. So.
Or you can play some of those Steam games because you're taking your PC with you, right?
No, it's a Mac.
Oh.
So the Mac. Maybe we'll take 10%. So no,
I will work through some of them.
I will focus on the Vita and the 3DS this summer.
Gotcha.
Which I love both of them more than the Mac. Anyway, I mean, I love. I don't know what to say. I don't know why, but I love handheld gaming. I love it. Fucking love it.
Cool. Awesome. What about you, Jen?
Well, there are a bunch of games that I haven't even started that I really want to do, like, and things that I know I really need to do. I really want to play those early Final Fantasy games,
mm-hmm.
The ones that were pre-7, because I know they are amazing, I know they have rave reviews, but I've never been able to just sit down and actually play them.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be nice to do this summer, since I do own them, so I can. With getting the DS, I really need to get games for it. So right now my hands are tied budget-wise, but I have enough people with extra games or things that they aren't playing that I can kind of work around that a little bit. So there are games that I know of that I really, really, really want to play. I just need to find access to them. Like I would love to watch The World Ends With Us, or to play The World Ends With Us, or any of the Tales games, or things that I know mostly from role playing, actually, from doing fandom role play with people who played characters from this. So that'd be fun to do. On Steam, I want to actually start working my way through Walking Dead since I've only done the very first episode of the first season.
Mm-hmm.
So I really want to go through that. And my guilty admission is I've had Fallout New Vegas on my computer for maybe a year. A friend was kind enough to gift me with it, and I have yet to play it.
You'll never get another gift.
So I really, really, really need to sit down and actually play this. But the problem was that I got it on Steam for my PC, and my PC loves to overheat. And so now that it's summer, that makes things even trickier because it's even harder to control the temperature of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've taken my little bit of savings. The reason I'm being super careful right now is I paid a friend to custom build a cheap but workable gaming desktop. Nice. So I can set that up, and I can actually play some of these games that just, they function on my laptop for a grand total of 20 minutes before the computer can't handle it anymore. So I'm hoping that will help with, like, PC gaming.
Yeah. That'll be nice.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So as that's really exciting, and I'm actually hoping to get that when I get back from Seattle in a couple of weeks. So very, very happy about that. And then as far as console gaming goes, unfortunately, I've never really been one to watch other people play. I haven't watched anybody playing games since I was 13 and watching my big brother play Final Fantasy VII, which worked beautifully for getting me hooked on that game, but has been less successful for things like, say, Portal 2 or the BioShock games or Red Dead Redemption, where I enjoy watching somebody play it. And I might even have the games, and I'll play a little bit, but I've just seen them played.
Mm-hmm.
And so I lose interest pretty quickly and wander off and do other things and then don't come back to it, which is unfortunate because there are whole swaths of the game that I haven't seen because I didn't play through it and people play differently than I do, and it would be really nice to actually do this, but I'm not playing them because I just watched somebody playing them. So those are things I need to go back and finish. Like, how can I not finish Portal 2?
Right.
It's such an amazing game, but yeah, I took a break and haven't been back to it yet. So that's my goal for hopefully the summer.
Well, no, that's a good goal. And also be aware of the fact that, some of the Final Fantasies are available for the 3DS.
Yes, I actually saw that. So.
Would they be great if Portal...
No, 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 go ahead.
I was going to say, would it be great if Portal was on the Vita?
That would be cool.
Only for you, Charlotte.
I'm just saying, it's not only for me. Many people love the Vita.
Yeah, as far as awesome DS finds, for $5, I found a copy of the original Mario Brothers.
Nice.
So it's downloadable content, though, and I don't have an SD card. So Tony is loaning me an SD card, or not loaning me, he's giving it to me for dinner and a drink. So it's I'll be able to actually play it then. Because I have my little $5 download code, and I'm just waiting for something to save it on. So.
Well, that'll be fun.
Yeah, I get to play the original Mario again. So
that's not the original Mario.
The one from NES.
Is it for $5?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
They were re-releasing
the Nintendo Classic. Nintendo Classics, and they're re-releasing them on the DS or 3DS, I am super excited.
That's bad.
See?
Well, I'm digging around for my 3DS right now.
she's like, forget it. I don't care that I can't finish Luigi's Mansion.
Fuck all that. Then I can get Super Mario Brothers, the original?
Mario Brothers.
The original?
Yes.
Now I might have to download that tonight.
See? So I'm super excited.
Oh my god, I'll get it. Okay, I can't get it right now because it's making noise.
All right, awesome. So that's covered. Does that, see, those piles of shit. Well, yeah, well, when we start talking about 100 plus Steam games, those piles are pretty bad. And I've got fairly significant piles. But I'm going to pretend they don't exist for the most part and just keep buying new games, and maybe the rest of them will disappear.
But speaking of buying new games, did you buy Murder Soul Suspect?
No, I have not. The reviews have not been kind.
I know, but
But I still want to play it. It's actually next in my Gamefly queue, which means it'll probably come soon because I'm going to end up buying, because I got Mario Kart 8 at launch. But I'll probably end up buying it because there's no way P's going to let me send it back. So there's no need to keep it longer than necessary.
I'm disappointed in the reviews, but it sounds like a fascinating game.
Yeah, I want to see. I want to see. I'm big in the noir games, so I'm anxious to see this one. I don't care how bad the reviews say it is. That's why I said it's next in my Gamefly queue, so I won't feel bad because if it really sucks, I can just send it back. And if it's bearable and I like the story, then I can keep it. But we'll see. Or I can just play through it and send it back one way or the other. That always makes me happy. All right. Well, that was fun. We've admitted our dirty little secrets. How about this week's deals for broke-ass gamers, Missy?
Well, let's see. The one that I thought was funniest, I haven't done it yet, but the PSN sale.
Mm-hmm.
Has what's it called? The Nini Kunu?
Ni no Kuni. Yes. Ni no
Kuni. $5.
For $5. Wait, I saw that today. Huh?
On what system?
The PS3. PlayStation 3.
Okay.
Yeah, $5 for Ni no Kuni. Buy it now.
Yes. Where's my controller?
She's like, I will. Like,
hey, I can do it. I am sitting right by my TV. This is a possibility.
Yes. $5.
Hey, I can't tell you how many games I bought while we've been podcasting.
I haven't done it because mine's upstairs. But yeah, it sounds like Sam's been talking about it for like a year or something.
So. Well, yeah, because I've been playing it so much with my kid. It's a great game. It's beautiful, too.
And $5.
You will not be disappointed. Yeah.
That is the best $5 you will spend this year. I will tell you that.
And then, let's see. Amazon has Injustice, Gods Among Us for $7.49.
Is that the PC or?
PC download. Oh. Yes, yes. You sound disappointed, but it's a pretty good deal for that.
It is a good deal, but I want to play it on console.
Well, I can't help you with that. Console is $39.99. The thing about Injustices and why I think it's worth $7.49 is it's not a great game.
Right, that's why I said I don't want to play $39.99 for it.
Right.
Which is why the PC $7.49 or whatever it is a good deal. It's not a great game. Play it on the PC. Move on. I'm not saying. I just don't like the game.
Yeah, I may have to.
It's fun to play. It's not worth $50.
No. Right. It's not worth $40.
No.
I've seen it played, and I know it's not worth $40.
No. Gamefly is having a sale for these damn Lego games. But they're pre-owned. I get annoyed because I don't understand why the previous Lego games are better than the current Lego games.
Well, we had that discussion. It's because they're rushing them out.
At any rate, the current crappy Lego games on Gamefly used are $19.99. Now, having said current crappy Lego games, Lego Movie video game for Vita is just as bad as Lego Marvel Superheroes,
mm-hmm.
except it's not as irritating.
Hmm.
And I don't know why that is. Like, I can't. To me, Lego Marvel Superheroes on the Vita is unplayable.
Yeah.
But Lego Movie is not. But they have the same format or setup. The same 30-second little mini games.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I can't do that.
Yeah. It's so annoying. At any rate, it's on sale at Gamefly.
Awesome.
Also, the console games are on sale at Gamefly.
Yeah, I need to stay away from buying more games right now. I bought so many games in the last 2 weeks.
I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the people.
No, it's all about me. All about me. All right. So, well, I guess that will bring us to the end of episode 79. Wow.
Man.
What we'd like to do is send out requests for people to send us emails or voicemails or video mails or whatever way you want to contact us. You can send us email at nymgamer@gmail.com. You can send us voicemail by using that nice little flyout app on our webpage, which is nymgamer.com. What did I say? Our Gmail is nymgamer@gmail.com. Okay, you can send us a voicemail by using the flyout on our webpage, which is nymgamer.com. Or you can use the applet at the top of our Facebook page, where you can find just by going to Facebook and in the little search box, type in Not Your Mama's Gamer. Guess what? We come up. You can find us that way. Or you can follow us on Twitter and get updates about our daily pithy posts. Just follow us at NYMGamer. And if Twitter and Facebook and all those other things are not your thing, you can always follow us on Tumblr at nymgamer.tumblr.com. So there's a way for everybody to contact us, short of actually picking up a phone and dialing us. that we don't do yet, or won't do, because I don't like talking on the phone anyway, so I really don't need a phone call. So lots of fun and interesting ways to contact us. Tell us what you think. Ask us questions. Get conversations started. We welcome all of that. And as I said, we post 6 days a week now. So come on by the blog. Come on by the blog. See what we've posted. Start a conversation. We are always looking forward to having conversations with folks. Regardless of whether or not you agree with us, believe it or not. keep an eye out for our next contest that will be coming up. If I don't get it started this week, because I'm leaving for a conference, I will definitely get it started next week. And this is for our next contest prize is going to be your very own Not Your Mama's Gamer t-shirt. Yay! And if you go to the blog, you'll see a picture of Alex Lane wearing her fancy dancy Not Your Mama's Gamer t-shirt. So that will be our next contest. If we don't get it started this week, we will definitely get it started next week. And if you get our podcast via iTunes or Stitcher, please go ahead and take a moment or two and leave us a narrative review. You can go ahead and click and say 5 stars because, of course, you love us that much. But also take a minute and leave us an actual comment. Comments help. They help drive us further up in the search rankings so more people can find us and all of our awesome. I think that's about it. So thanks for joining us for episode 79. And until next time, stay cool. Stay dry. And as always, game on.
Game on.
Game on.